to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, February the 14th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. And actually, here's the good news. I actually think you may be listening to this somewhere around the 14th, or at least in its proximity, because thanks be to Jesus, this whole podcast host feed thing got worked out. So at least for now, knock on my laptop. And so anyway, good news there. And I am grateful, and blessings to all of you who, as you listen to this, are celebrating the Feast of St. Valentine. I hope you have a wonderful day with your loved one. Okay, we are going to hear the readings for the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. We've got, gosh, what, two more weeks of Ordinary Time that we are going to have before we step into Lent. That'll be coming, I believe, March 5th is Ash Wednesday. So anyway, what are we going to hear from today? We are going to hear from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 5-8. And again, that's for those who'd like to follow along. It will be the first reading for this coming weekend. We're also going to hear from the Gospel of Luke. As you know, we're in year C, so we're going to hear Luke quite a bit. But Luke chapter 6, verses 17 and then 20-26. It's going to sound pretty familiar, but we're going to talk about some of the differences that will pop up. And if I'm being cryptic right now, don't worry. It'll all make sense in a little bit. So, my friends, however it is you prepare yourself and open yourself to receive God's word, I invite you to do that at this time, that that word may find a home within you. Let's break open God's word together. A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the one who trusts in human beings, who seeks their strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. They are like a barren bush in the desert that enjoys no change of season, but stands in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. They are like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress, but still bears fruit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. My friends, as always, if there is a word, a phrase, an image, an idea, a thought, anything, if something came to you, if something resounded, if something stuck out, if something didn't make sense, any of that, just sit with it. Allow it to stew and percolate and do what it needs to do within you. Let the Spirit speak through that idea, phrase, thought, whatever it is, okay? You can do that now. You can do that later today. But let the Spirit do what the Spirit needs to do. Let's move on to the gospel. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. And raising his eyes toward his disciples, he said, blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way. My friends, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So now let me go back to my cryptic speech, right? I was going to say this is going to sound familiar, and in some ways it does sound familiar. But I think if you're like me, and praise be to Jesus if you are not, but if you're like me, when I think of the Beatitudes and when they resound within my mind and in my heart, I often go to Matthew's version, right? And I don't go to Luke's version. But that's why I say these are going to sound familiar, but they're Luke's version, and Luke's are a little bit different. So, okay, let's talk about some of the differences between Luke's and Matthew's version of the Beatitudes. Okay, first of all, in Matthew, the Sermon is on the Mount. Jesus goes up the hill and sees the people, and they come to him, and he speaks. Now, why is that? You know, who cares, Joe? Here in Luke's version, Jesus, you'll see at the beginning here, Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a stretch of level ground. So while Matthew's is called the Sermon on the Mount, that goes for chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, Jesus is called the Sermon on the Plain. Now, Joe, you're like, okay, really? Who cares? Agreed, you know, except they're trying to make a point. Why would Luke do that? Why would Matthew do that? Well, Matthew's doing it because what Matthew's purpose is he's setting up Jesus to be the new Moses, right? Moses went up the mountain, Mount Sinai, to receive the law and came down to give it. And so Jesus goes up on the mountain to receive and to give the law to the people and to take that law, because much of what Matthew does in 5, 6, and 7 is say, you have heard it said, meaning you've heard the law say this, but I'm telling you this, and reframes the law for the people. So he's setting Jesus up to be this new Moses. Luke, on the other hand, is writing to the Gentile community. Matthew is writing to the Jews, which makes sense because they would know what Moses, you know, said and did, and Jesus as the new Moses makes perfect sense to a Jewish community. Luke, is writing to a Gentile community where he's saying, listen, I don't care if you're Roman or if you're a Gentile or if you're Jewish. Now, he may not say, I don't care. But he says, it doesn't make any difference for God's love if you are a Gentile or a Jew, if you are a woman or man, if you are slave or free. We are all equal and loved in the eyes of God. And so Jesus comes down to a stretch of level ground, right, where we all stand together. So he's making points there. Each of the gospel writers are making a point. Now, something that I often do, and I'm incorrect to do it, and I hope you catch me when I do. It says, Jesus came down with the 12, stood on this stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples. Oftentimes, I will fall into the trap of speaking about the 12, the apostles, and the disciples in the same manner. I mean, in one sense, that's correct, because the apostles certainly are disciples. They are followers of Jesus. They are students, and they are learning. But the 12, in a sense, were set aside. They were the inner circle. And so when it says Jesus came down with the 12 and he spoke to all a great crowd of his disciples, it didn't just mean there were the 12 there. The disciples are everybody. You and I are disciples. We are students. And so we are attempting to learn. So this is, in Luke's eyes, certainly in Matthew's as well, if we were to go back there and talk about it, He is speaking to all of us. He's speaking throughout history. He's speaking not only to the people that came that day up the mountain or here on the level plain. He's speaking to you and I through the ages, okay? He's speaking to anybody who wishes to be a student of his. Now, the 12 are that, but they have a separate mission, separate and distinct, okay? So, that is setting the stage. One other thing to set the stage is, and I don't know that this comes into play so much here today, but it's always good to know. We jumped from Luke 5, what we heard last week. Now we're in Luke 6. In fact, we're midway through Luke 6. Is that important? You know, context is always important. So what has happened between the call of Peter and James and John? I'm sure Andrew too, but we didn't hear his name specifically last week when they were going out in the fishing boat, right? And what happened between now when we're midway through the six? Okay, that's a lot of things. Actually, there were three healings. Jesus healed the leper. Jesus healed the one who came to him, or friends brought him on a mat, and he said, your sins are forgiven. And that caused a great hullabaloo, certainly among the Pharisees, who said, who but God alone can forgive sins? And Jesus said, well, hey, to prove that I'm the Son of Man, you know, rise, pick up your mat and walk. And that caused consternation, right? And then, that was all in chapter 5. And then in chapter 6, before we get here, Jesus heals somebody, a withered hand, man with a withered hand, on the Sabbath. And again, the Pharisees see this, and there's a great deal of debate and argument about what it means to honor the Sabbath. And is Jesus dishonoring it? So already, there's contention. Division between Jesus and the leaders of the day, okay? So now Jesus is going to speak on level ground where everybody's the same. And who's going to come? Well, his disciples come, but we don't hear the Pharisees coming. Okay, so what do we hear? That sets the stage, and I just took the last 5 minutes to set the stage. What is it we hear? So in Matthew's gospel, there are 10 Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, right? Blessed are they who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the clean of heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, etc. I mean, there's 8 of them that I just did right there. And I think there's one, blessed are they who insult you. So that kind of that 8th one kind of spreads out about into the insult too. So 8 to 9 to 10 in Matthew's gospel. There are 8 in Luke's, but there are 8 blessings, or excuse me, 8. There are 8, but there are 4 blessings and 4 woes. Whereas Matthew doesn't. Matthew's are blessed all the way through. Luke divides and says, listen, these are blessed. These are in woe. So who are blessed? Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are people when they hate you, when they exclude and insult you. And then he goes on to say, why? Your reward will be great in heaven. Woe to you who are rich. You have received already your consolation, your reward. Woe to you who are filled now, you'll be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe when people speak well of you, for they treated the false prophets in the same way. Basically, he takes the blessings and then does the opposites on the woes. Now, here's what should scare the living dickens out of us, right? If you were being honest, which side of this do you and I fall on? I'm doing this podcast from a state in the United States, a country in wealth, a country that one carries their freedom and their independence. Which side do we... do most of us who hear this fall on? Fall on those who are hungry or poor or weeping Or do we fall on the side of those who are rich and filled now and laughing now? Brothers and sisters, this should be a wake up. This should resound within us. This should invite us to come awake immediately and say, what's going on here? Now, I don't want to pretend to know the mind and heart of God. Here's what I believe where Jesus is pointing. Remember last week in the call of Peter. Peter had been out all night in his boat, and he's putting the nets in, and he catches nothing. But when Jesus gets in the boat and he's done teaching, he invites Peter out in the deep water and says, put in your nets. He's like, but I've been doing it all night. And he says, do it anyway. Puts his nets out and carries in such a big catch that his boat starts sinking. And the partners, James and John, have to come over. They put it there. Both boats almost start sinking and they come in. Okay. When we are in tune with God and the ways of God and the Spirit of God, we can't help but have our not only our bellies, because that's, you know, but our spirits filled, right? And we no longer weep, and we no longer feel poor, if I can say that. But the danger here is that within our riches, within our comfort, we no longer need God, right? And so let's point back to Jeremiah. So why would the church in her wisdom choose this reading to go along with Luke and the Beatitudes and the woes? I can only guess. But the first line is, cursed is the one who trusts in human beings, who seeks their own strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. They are like a barren bush. So, brothers and sisters, to the extent that you and I trust in our own selves, our own ways, our own strength, our own money, our own intelligence, our own whatever it is that can create a life around us that feels comfortable based on our own strength, cursed are we. Why? Because we don't see a need for God in our lives. Blessed is the one who sees need. They are the ones, like, they are planted beside water, even in stretches of drought. We don't need to worry. Why? Because God is that strength and we continue to bear fruit. I can only guess, brothers and sisters, but I don't think God is saying, listen, you who are hungry, yeah, good. People don't feed the hungry because we take away a blessing. Those who are weeping, don't try to, you know, comfort them, you know, because we're taking away their blessing. That would be awful. You know, that's like people who say, let's try to help the poor. And there are those who say, no, but Jesus said they're poor always. You know, we should use our funds for other things. That's an absolute misreading. Jesus isn't saying, you know, we should make everybody hungry and weep and hate us and be poor. He's saying the poor have nowhere else to go to except our God. The hungry have no one to fill them except God. The weeping have no one to console them but God. And they reach out to God. They are planting their tree beside the water that always fills them. Now, do we say, okay, well, then God's got to feed the hungry? Goodness sakes, brothers and sisters. God became incarnate on Christmas, so you and I would become incarnate, right? The poor and the hungry and the weeping and those who feel ostracized and alone should look to you and I, and we should be their consolation. Now, it's God who's their consolation, but thanks be to God through us, right? That they are thankful to God because God blessed and filled them and consoled them and brought them up out of the mire in the person of you and I. Woe to you who are rich and who don't weep, who laugh instead, and who have full bellies, because you can fall into the trap. I don't think God loves, God isn't reactive. That doesn't make sense to me of who God is. God doesn't love you more right now if you go shut your bank account down and give all your food away, because then God's going to love you. It's like the rich young man who Jesus loved him and said, sell your belongings, give them to the poor and follow me. But the man was entrapped in them and walked away because it can be a trap. Is that becomes our strength and becomes our foundation. And God says, if there is anything that becomes our foundation other than God, then that, it's either inviting us to become closer to God, or it is distancing us from God. And therein, brothers and sisters, those who live in affluence, we need to be awake and say, do I rely on this, or do I rely on God? And have I become for the poor, for those who mourn, for those who are hungry, those who feel ostracized and alone? Have I become a consolation for them? Has God, through me, blessed them? Because I think that is what we are invited to do. I think I've gone plenty long on this one. It is so good. Again, if you have time, compare and contrast Luke and Matthew's Beatitudes today. They're pointing us in the same direction. God, brothers and sisters, make no bones about it. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. And it is the poor who indeed cry out to God. Let us always, as Matthew in a sense softened it, be poor in spirit, to know our need for God, so we too are blessed. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. The fifth luminous mystery, the institution of the Eucharist. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Bless you, my friends. Thanks for being with me. May your week be filled with every good joy. Be well, and God's peace.